Good morning, New Mexico, and welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company on Cordova Road and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We are podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services, and you can subscribe to the show on iTunes. And I had a conversation with somebody yesterday who said, oh, I didn't know we could hear your shows on the web. And that's what podcasting means. Podcasting means you go to santafe.radiocafe.org, and then you see a picture of me and the podcasts of the day, and then whatever was on yesterday, the day before. You can archive back a couple of years, and then you hit this button that says listen, and then you can hear the show. So just thought I would do a little didactic explanation. I'd like right now to welcome Bill Hutchison. He is with the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and he's here every the first Friday of every month, and Carrie Peavy, who is also at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society, and is here to talk about Paws for a Cause, which is the second annual community dog walk and run, which is happening not tomorrow, but the next Friday, the next Saturday at Alto Park. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Good morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte. You know, we link to your podcast, the animal portions of the podcast, from our own website because
that's
we
awesome.
Like it so much.
That's fantastic. So, let's see. So, this starts at the undoggly hour of 7 a.m. on Saturday morning. What happens at this event?
Well, 7 a.m. is when registration opens. The run actually starts at 8, so you have a little bit of time there.
Because 8 is so much better than 7.
It is.
we're looking at 8 right now.
It's a beautiful time of day to be out and running or walking with your dog. So this event, this year we have added a 5K run, and so that will start first, and we'll have runners without dogs and runners with dogs.
Oh, you can run the 5K run, or whatever, how many K?
5K? 5K.
With or without your dog?
Correct.
What if your dog can't keep up with you?
We'll be bringing some angry dogs to chase people who are too slow.
All right.
If your dog can't keep up with you, I recommend the walk. No.
It's actually perfect. If your dog can't keep up with you this year, then you do the walk. And then next year, you'll be ready for the run.
You train for the run.
And so
absolutely.
Will your dog. I just say that because I'm the owner of a dachshund, among other things. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, most of the dachshunds will probably be in the walking category, I imagine. Then we're also doing a 1K kids run, which is new this year. We're hoping to get some kids out there, get them active and fit. It's one of our goals. We also have other fun things going on. We have Ask a Vet. Smith Vet will be out there and answering all your animal questions. We're going to have lots of local stores out there giving away fun things, animal-related products, health-related products, things of that nature. We also have dog contests. So if you think your dog has got a great bark or tail wag or looks like you, or even a great kiss, we'll be out there. Bill is emceeing that contest.
And what if your dog looks like Captain Jean-Luc Picard of the Starship Enterprise?
Then you need to find a handsome, bald British man to bring your dog to win looks most like owner.
Ah, okay.
Yes. And we have a couple of groups coming out to do some demonstrations. We have a flyball group from Lucky Dog Leapers and Dog Dancing with the Santa Fe Dog Dance Club. And they'll be out there showing off their moves.
So all of this is happening to benefit the animal shelter?
The animal shelter and St. Vincent Hospital Foundation Pediatric Fund.
Uh-huh.
You know, one of the things, one of the reasons this is such a good idea, I was reading in the news within the last few weeks that in the U.S., rates of obesity have outpaced rates of being simply overweight. And being able to do something like this, especially with your animal as part of your family, is really important. It's very easy for us to get very sedentary in our lives and not do very much, and I try not to look down at my own belly as I'm saying this, but the reality is we have to get out. It's very easy not to, and just a little bit of fitness is a great bond with your dog. It's just a great moment to be able to be out in the world and have that wonderful fresh air in your face and your dog looking up with love in your love in his eyes before you take him back home to your dark house and sit in front of your desk and work for another several hours.
Well, I'll tell you what, these dogs can get a little sedentary too, and even dogs that are fit, as are my little terriers, could use about 800 times as much exercise as I give them.
It's absolutely true. One of the things that's sometimes frustrating about working with Carrie, my colleague here, is that she comes in every Monday morning with some exciting tale of this long hike that she took with her dogs. And I think back to my weekend and 16-hour naps with my dogs and these long sort of do-nothing days that they have, and I feel really guilty. So this is a chance, if you are plagued and burdened with guilt, to cast it off your shoulders by actually tooling around a beautiful park for a while.
Yeah. Before I had my dogs, I was actually overweight, and they got me into shape because they required so much exercise, and I walk with them every morning and take them out every weekend. So I have to thank my dogs for getting me physically fit.
Yeah, and before my dog got my other dog, she was really fat, and having a little puppy companion shaped her right up.
Absolutely. It's one of the things that, you know, in the years that we've done this show, we haven't talked a lot about animal fitness, but it really is one of the integral responsibilities we have to animals. You know, they will not go to the gym on their own. They will not run on the treadmill on their own. They won't do their cardio on their own. We have to really take care of them, and this is an opportunity to do that, but it's maybe the first step in what can be your New Year's resolution starting in spring to really make that commitment to your animal, to keep them healthy. They'll live a heck of a lot longer, and you won't go to the vet nearly as often. There's so many benefits to it.
There we have it, ladies and gentlemen. So it's the pause for a cause, and it's lots of fun for those early risers among you.
And if you get there late, you know, the demos aren't going to be until later. And if you haven't seen Doggy Dancing in Santa Fe, it is an eerie thing that's really catching on. And I still don't quite understand it, but it is strange and wonderful to watch when it happens. And you'll get to see it.
Doggy
in the flesh.
Dancing?
Doggy dancing. Owners dancing with their dogs. It's weird, but it's really kind of fantastic. If you haven't seen this, and I don't know how you couldn't have, because it's been all over our news and here and there over the last several months, or even more than a year. It's really weird, and it's great. I've said weird about 11 times, but that's because it's strange.
You know, being not a pop culture aficionado myself, I have no idea what you're talking about.
Often, Mary Charlotte, I have the same thing when I'm talking. But just come. Just come and see Doggy Dancing. Then all will be revealed. You will understand in ways you've never understood before.
I love the doggy dancing because it's a great way to bond with your dog. And it's amazing. These dogs learn to dance, and they learn steps, and they move around you very fluidly. And
So it's like agility training light.
Kind of. There was I don't know if you saw it, there was an article in, I think it was in the New York Times within the last couple of weeks about the number of injuries caused by animals in the home when people fall over them.
I can relate to that.
Oh, absolutely. I've nearly killed myself and my dog a number of times.
When I get old, I am not going to have a dachshund.
You need to have a cowbell on them all the time.
Right.
Which doesn't help if they sleep at the bottom of the stairs or something like that. But I can't help but think that doggy dancing is a way to teach your dog to follow when you are leading down the stairs at midnight to get a glass of orange juice and it's dark. When they see you coming, they will know that the dance step is to get out of your way instead of to entangle themselves in your feet and send you crashing forward to break your neck.
Bill Hutchison is with the Santa Fe. So do you have any wonderful animals up for adoption?
We do. We have a couple that I really wanted to talk about. One is Sunny, who is an orange tabby that we have. She's a she, which is very rare. Cat aficionados will know that orange tabbies are almost always male, so that we have this female orange tabby is kind of a wonder, and she's very sweet and sort of strange, and orange tabbies are hands down my favorite, so I'm kind of partial to Sunny. We also have, she's about 5 years old. We also have Isaiah, who is a one-year-old flame point Siamese mix. He is a tripod cat. He has one of his back legs bobbed off at the knee. I don't know what it is. It doesn't bend quite like a knee. But he is this really affectionate but very demanding cat. I don't know if you've had cats like this who really don't let you not pet them. This is Isaiah, and he's going to be a fantastic long-lived cat, I'm sure, for the right person who can acquiesce to his many, many, many demands. If you are a dog...
Wait, how many demands beyond being petted 23 and a half hours a day does he have?
It's only one demand, but it's a perpetual demand. So it's like an infinite number of demands.
Right.
luckily your skills and your repertoire of cat petting is going to have to be fairly narrow to make him happy, but you will have to have some serious longevity and tenacity in your petting ability.
Now, for those of you who do not believe in physical fitness, this is the cat for you.
That's right. Absolutely. Although, you know, I have to say, as I said that, I have to reconsider, because I've seen we have a three-legged cat who lives at the shelter, Pounce, who doesn't appreciate the irony of her name, unfortunately. But she's old.
Pounce or Pounce?
Pounce.
P-O-U-N-C-E.
Yeah.
All right.
Which she cannot do, Mary Charlotte, because she only has three legs.
Oh.
But Pounce, who's old and a little bit overweight, still gets around like a trooper. So Isaiah, who is young and not overweight, I suspect is going to be just as fleet on his 3 feet as many other cats are on four. But you will not, unfortunately, be able to bring Isaiah, if you adopt him, to Paws for a Cause. I suspect that the dogs there might not appreciate
might
that.
Might eat him.
Yes. Or chase him on his three little legs up a tree.
Do you ever have a dog get out into the cat area at the shelter?
No, we have a shelter that is specially built to avoid predictable situations just like that. We do have, one of the things that Pounce does for us, though, is she helps us in dog testing. We introduce a lot of dogs to her because she's very much able to handle herself, and she lets us know which dogs are going to be cat-friendly and which dogs are going to be a little bit less cat-friendly. It's a high-risk job.
Do
she's
we even
well-paid.
Bother showing terriers to her?
No.
No.
Absolutely not.
Ah.
No, no.
What breeds are most cat-friendly?
Boy, that's a good question.
I don't know that there's a specific breed. I think it's a case-by-case basis.
Yeah,
but
I could say there are breeds
are
that
are... excluded.
There are some breeds who are definitely not cat-friendly. Like any herding breed or most of the hunting breeds, I would say, are typically not. I wouldn't have a cattle dog or a terrier. Those jump to my mind very quickly around a cat.
That's not all they jump to.
But I can hear the fingers clicking on emails as listeners now say, I have a terrier and a cattle dog, and they love my cat. So I'm sure there are exceptions, but those are the ones I'd stay away from.
And if they're together at a young age, like anything with a puppy or a kitten, if they're introduced to it at a young age, they're more likely to accept it.
Absolutely. So especially with cats, because a heeler puppy gets a couple good whacks on the nose from a cat when he's young, and you learn a healthy respect for that creature, much like we learn a healthy respect for our cats, because they're certainly willing to take out their aggressions and various feline violences on us. I also have a couple of dogs I want to tell you about. Lolita, who is a very sweet Vizsla mix. If you are looking for a hiking companion, which I am not because I am sedentary, then...
Are you sedentary?
Shh, don't tell anybody, Mary Charlotte. I don't want it to get
After
around.
After all this dog fitness talk?
I know. Well, that's why I had to bring Carrie, because physical fitness is a language I do not speak very fluently. Lolita is a great dog if you do speak physical fitness. She's two, Vizsla mix, looks like a standard New Mexico brown dog, but just an absolute doll. And we have Hennigan, who is a black and tan coon hound. He's 2 years old. If you've never had a hound before, do a little research on the breed before you rush in to get this gorgeous beauty. He is a great dog. He has quite a vocal styling, so if you are looking for a dog to accompany you on your world tour singing circuit, this is a fine canine for that.
I had a friend and part-time housemate who had a coonhound, and that dog was one of the smartest dogs or human beings I've ever met in my whole life.
Hounds are pretty amazing. It's a breed that I think is has some unusual abilities for predictive behavior in other animals, because that's exactly what they're for. You know, not just tracking them, but really trying to reason through another animal's mind. And of course, I can hear hound people clicking and saying, "What the hell are you talking about?"
But and you can hear St. John's people saying, "Reason?"
Yes. Not logic, friends. Just a little bit of reason. But they really are superb dogs. They're very strange and wonderful. They have I think part of what is fascinating to me about hounds is this need to vocalize that they have. And indeed, they will vocalize. A lot of noise, a lot of singing. Luciano Pavarotti-style arias constantly.
They're also capable of getting out. They're like Houdini out of any enclosure that you put them into. At least this coonhound that I knew was. They had to rig things involving padlocks and cables.
I am not surprised. You
know, if it was just the padlock or the cable, the dog could get out.
A lot of hounds will keep a handcuff key tucked up in their gums, which is very handy for getting out of situations like that. when we first moved into the shelter in summer of 2005, I guess it is now, we had doorknobs on the inside of our kennels, which seemed very reasonable. Certainly if there's a person on the inside of the kennel, then you want them to be able to get out. Very quickly we realized that there are a number of breeds that have no problem using doorknobs to open doors and get out.
Not door handles, but actual round knobs.
No, not the knobs. They were the lever style. But it still requires you to push down on the lever and pull in to open the door. Wasn't as simple as flap it and the door swings open.
That's easier than the knob style.
Oh, yes, but still.
What'd you do?
We took all the knobs off the inside. Every once in a while, there's a person trapped in there.
How do you get out?
You wait until someone else comes by to help you. There are these little makeshift knobs, little makeshift levery things that dogs cannot open and that probably about 30% of the people who go into a kennel can open.
Luckily, we have the top part that opens separately so you can reach over and let yourself out.
Yes. More than once, we have jumpers, and when we have a jumper, you know, we close the top part of the Dutch doors at the shelter kennels. And more than once, I have gotten myself into a kennel where I cannot quite turn the knob and pull the door at the same time. And yes, you do have to wait until someone comes along. And sometimes it's a little embarrassing. So you don't knock on the door when someone comes along. You just pet the dog and try to make it look really interesting so they want to open the door and look at the dog too. And then you can sort of bluff your way out.
For employment opportunities at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society.
Clearly some will be opening up very soon.
Please call Bill Hutchison. So that's how you had a puppy palooza a while ago, and you had just a flood of puppies. How are you doing on that?
Well, we've refilled with puppies. Puppy palooza was fantastic. We adopted out 53 animals that weekend. But it's springtime, and we're full with puppies and kittens again. So we have a cute little boxer mix puppy right now, a little terrier mix puppy, a little hound puppy. So there's one of everything.
Boxers are so ugly, they're so cute.
Oh, as a puppy, he's just about the cutest thing. Yeah. But yeah, we were in Albuquerque last weekend for that big adoption event as well.
Another palooza. This one was called Fetch-a-palooza.
And that was equally as successful for us. We took 22 animals down there. We adopted out 19. So we're very pleased about that. But again, you look at our shelter and we're full again. It's springtime.
The puppy and kitten tankers come up every week and refill our puppy and kitten supply. It is nonstop.
They come up the Rio Grande?
No, it's like a 18-wheeler tanker full of puppies and kittens. It comes and replenishes our supply whether we want it to or not.
That's excellent. Bill Hutchison is with the Animal Shelter and Humane Society. What else? Anything else that we should know about animals, fitness, dog care, cats, bunnies?
There are things that you can do to make sure your cat is fit also. Not very many people walk their cats, but playing with your cat with toys, feathers on a string, a whole variety of balls, etc. There's a whole variety of ways to keep your cat fit as well. I have a big boy orange tabby cat, and when he got to 24 pounds, and I feed him on top of a counter, and when he was bouncing off the front of the counter instead of making it all the way to the top where the food dish is, I realized this is time for a diet and some more exercise. So the diet helps, but really playing with him and getting him to run around and do these things has been key to keeping him fit and healthy, because I love these animals. I want them around for as long as I can possibly have them, and that means doing everything I can to keep them fit. If you have a bunny, I have absolutely no idea how to exercise a bunny.
They probably know themselves. They have animal instincts.
Yes. Maybe you could get a fox to exercise your bunny.
You could get a terrier.
Yes.
And then a hole for the bunny to run into.
House Rabbit Society people, please don't call. We know that's not nice. We were just kidding.
Anything else before we go?
You can always check our website for our adoptable animals. It updates every hour. So if you are not really ready to make the drive out to the shelter, just doing some window shopping, open up that window on your computer. Our website is sfhumanesociety.org, and every single adoptable animal we have is on there. And we'll be debuting a new website soon.
Really?
Yes, I'm very excited. And by soon, I mean sometime in the next sometime. But it's coming together very nicely, and it's going to be lovely. Also,
specificity may or may not be one of your best qualities.
You know, you're not the first person who said that. Certainly not even the first person who said that today. We also have a lost pet section of our website. And if you have lost your critter, a lot of people don't necessarily know that we not only have all our adoptable animals, but all the stray animals as well. So you can get on the website, go to the lost and found pets section and tool around, see the pictures of who we have. Really, nothing beats coming to the shelter and looking at the dogs and cats in the flesh. But if you are at work and want to make sure, and again, this updates every hour, you want to know if your critter came to the shelter, check the website, look through every page, and you'll be able to see who we have at the moment who's looking for their mommy and daddy to come get them.
Are you the designated photographer?
No, we actually have some really fantastic photographers at the shelter. I used to take a lot of the pictures, but time constraints dictated I could not. Now most of our pictures are taken by AJ, one of our adoption counselors, who really does some of the finest pictures on our website. If you get on the website and see this curious cat really close to the camera looking totally adorable, that's one of AJ's fine pictures. Unfortunately, the lost and found pictures come out of intake where the dogs and cats are really not at their happiest because as nice as we try to make the shelter, it is not as good as home, wherever home was. So they don't always look quite as happy as our adoption pictures.
Well, if they're standing there holding up a little board with their case number on
that's right, against a little ruler, exactly, 24 inches, number 24601. That's a little Les Miserables joke for the literati out there.
A what?
Little Les Miserables joke.
Ah.
We'll explain it on the blog.
Excellent. Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society can be found on the web. They can also be found by calling
983-4309. And you can always email me at the shelter if you have questions that we don't talk about on the show. You can just email shelter@sfhumanesociety.org. That will come to my desk, and I will be happy to hear from you. The website is www.sfhumanesociety.org. That stands for organization.
That's right. Nonprofit organization.
Nonprofit organization.
Carrie Peavy is the event coordinator at the Santa Fe Animal Shelter and Humane Society. Thanks so much for coming down, and we look forward to seeing you at Paws for a Cause, the second annual community dog walk and run in Alto Park here in Santa Fe to support the Animal Shelter and St. Vincent's Hospital Foundation Saturday, May 9th, 7 o'clock in the morning. I don't even go to the farmer's market because it's too early.
Radio listeners, I wish you could have seen the pained look on Mary Charlotte's face as she said, 7 o'clock in the morning. If you want more info on Pause for a Cause, you can call Carrie at 983-4309. Her extension is 270, and she can give you more information, or you can email her at events@sfhumanesociety.org, which still stands for organization.
It still does. Thank you both so much for being here. We're going to take a little break right now, and Robert Knott will be with us in just a moment when we come back. Stay tuned to KSFR.